Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. And now, on to the show.
And I'm very glad to welcome our speaker today, Maria Maldonado. Maria Jose Maldonado is a seasoned web accessibility professional with a strong foundation in education. Since transitioning to the field in 2018, she has been dedicated to advancing accessibility testing and fostering digital inclusivity. Holding CPAC, WAS, and CPWA certifications, she possesses a comprehensive understanding of WCAG standards and legal requirements. And with that, I am just going to switch over, stop sharing, and let Maria share her slides. And if you have any questions during the presentation, please pop them up in the Q&A box in the chat. And let me just make sure that you have a spotlight, Maria.
Okay. Yeah. Can you please confirm that my slides are sharing?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so we can start.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you for inviting me. My name is Maria Jose Maldonado. I'm a CPWA. I work as an accessibility specialist. I've been around in this field for 8 years now, and I just want to give you a little bit of context on the topic. So basically, I've been doing testing, auditing, monitoring, helping developers and clients to remediate their sites. And something that I have noticed in this time is that ARIA is not very it's not used in a proper way. I don't want to be mean. So that's why I decided to talk about ARIA. My objective today is that you, at the end of this session, can define what is ARIA, know how the accessibility API and screen readers work, also the most common attributes and roles, the required ARIA for custom components. I also prepare a very short screen reader demo so you can experience in real practice how these attributes and roles are announced by a screen reader. And at the end, we are going to have some time for questions and comments. All right. So before we start with the technical, I just want to share this. When I was studying or learning about ARIA a few years ago, something that I read was that the first rule about ARIA is to not use ARIA. And I created this image that is on the screen that is an AI image that references the Fight Club movie. And it has the same guy face to face repeating that sentence, right? The first rule about ARIA is to not use ARIA. Now the same documentation that I read, it has a softer sentence. It says no ARIA is better than bad ARIA. So, but it's basically the same in the essence, because the bad use of ARIA brings a lot of issues to screen readers, and we try to avoid the use of ARIA if we have HTML, because ARIA can bring more issues than benefits sometimes. But the idea is that after today, you have a better understanding of ARIA and you can use it properly when building your sites, right? So I've been repeating ARIA so many times, and I haven't said what does it mean. ARIA means accessible, rich internet applications, and is a set of attributes that enhance accessibility of dynamic web content. It's part of the WAI, which is the Web Accessibility Initiative by the W3C, which stands for World Wide Web Consortium, which is basically those people that manage the internet. And it's designed to work with HTML to provide additional content to assistive technologies. It helps screen readers understand widgets, states, roles, and properties. And it's especially useful for common user interface components that don't exist in native HTML. Last but not least, this is very important, ARIA is not a replacement for semantic HTML. So, in summary, ARIA is not a programming language because it doesn't include logic, control structures, or the ability to execute code. It's a set of HTML attributes that describe roles, states, and properties to assistive technologies. Unlike programming languages, ARIA is purely declarative. It enhances accessibility but doesn't create behavior or functionality on its own. Having said that, let me tell you how the accessibility API works with the screen readers. So it bridges the gap between the browser and assistive technologies. Basically, the browsers expose the content, which is HTML, CSS, and ARIA, to the accessibility tree, to the screen reader, sorry. So the screen readers query the accessibility API to retrieve element, roles, names, states, and relationships, and announce the content updates and interactions. For example, dynamic changes. But in order to be announced, those must be coded correctly to reflect in the accessibility tree. The best practice is to use semantic HTML first, and then ARIA to fill in accessibility gaps. The accessibility tree is supported by major platforms, so Windows, macOS, Linux, they all support it. And now that we know how the accessibility API works, let's see how the accessible name is determined. I see that there is a hand raised, but let's keep the questions to the end so we can continue the follow, because maybe your question is something that I'm going to mention in during the presentation. And I'm going to answer all the questions at the end. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to talk about the name computation process. But first, what is an accessible name? Well, the label or description an assistive technology like a screen reader announces for an element. It is crucial for buttons, links, form fields, and interactive components. The name computation process follows the accessibility name and description computation algorithm. That sounds very complicated, but it is basically this. First, it looks for the ARIA labeled by, if present, so it has the highest priority. Then looks for an ARIA label. This is used if ARIA labeled by is not present. Then we have labels for elements, basically used for form inputs, alt attributes for images, and the element text contents, for example, text inside a button. And the last one is a title attribute. This is only used if nothing else is found. So the best practices for giving a name is use ARIA label by for reference visible labels, use ARIA label for invisible but necessary naming, and avoid redundant or conflicting labels. And always test with a screen reader to confirm what is announced. Let's see some essential ARIA. I chose a couple of common attributes and roles, and I'm going to talk in detail about them. So first, ARIA label versus ARIA labeled by, right? Ada Labels provides a custom invisible label for an element versus the Ada Label By that references one or more visible elements that serves as the label. Ada Label is useful when there is no visible text to label the element. And Ada Label By is preferred when you have existing on a screen text. The Ada Label overrides any visible text or native label, and the Ada Label By is more dynamic and maintains the visible and the invisible consistency. And I have two examples here. The first one for the Ada Label is a button. You can see it's an HTML button with the tags, and it has the Ada Label search. This is very common because most of the times the search button is an icon, is a magnifier icon. So it doesn't have text. It needs an invisible name. That's why you use Ada Label search so the screen readers can listen to the name and have an accessible name for that icon, while sighted users understand that the magnifier icon represents search. Then the second example that I have is also HTML, but it's for Ada Label By. You have an H2, which is a heading level 2, with an ID, section title that says settings. And then you have the div that contains that region and has the Ada Label By referencing the ID that is above section title, right? So the best practices for Ada Label and Ada Label By are use Ada Label By when referencing visible text, use Ada Label when no label is visually present, and do not use both on the same element because Ada Label By takes precedence. And again, always test with a screen reader to confirm proper announcement.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code AccessibilityCraft to save 10% on any plan.
Now, Ada Describe By. What it does? It associates an element with additional descriptive text. It helps screen readers provide more context beyond the accessible name, and is commonly used for form fields, buttons, and complex widgets. How it works? The same as Ada Label By, it references the ID of another element that contains the description, and the screen reader reads the description after the element's name. We have an example here. There is an input with the ID email, and the Ada Describe By equals email help. Below the input, we have an span with the ID email help, which has been referenced by the Ada Describe By, and it says, "We'll never share your email with anyone else." So how is this going to be announced by the screen reader? Well, first it's going to look by the name, which is email. Then it's going to say fill, because this is an input. And then it's going to read the instructions, which are, "We'll never share your email with anyone else." So the best practices for area described by are use it for supplemental help texts, hints, or status messages. Ensure the described element is visible and meaningful, and do not use for labeling. Use area labeled by or use area labeled instead. Why? Because as we saw before in the computation name, the accessibility API doesn't look for area described by. It does for area described by as a name. It doesn't consider this attribute as a name. So if you provide the accessible name of the element using area described by, basically the element is going to be read as empty or unlabeled, because technically for the API, it doesn't have a name. The idea is that you use area described by for extra information, information that is going to be helpful for the screen reader, and like instructions on a form, or how to use an element, a component that is very complex, but not as a name. And something else about the area described by is that you can use multiple IDs to reference. The only thing is that you have to use a space between each ID. So you can concatenate information in this using this attribute. Now let's go with the roles. These two roles are very useful because we have a lot of status and alerts in the sites, right? So what is the difference between the role status and the role alert? Well, the role status announces important but non-critical updates, while the alert announces urgent, high-priority messages. The role status is polite by default. This means that it waits for the screen reader to finish speaking, while the alert is assertive by default. So it interrupts current screen reader output. The status is commonly used for form feedback like updates or system messages, while the alert is ideal for errors, warnings, or time sensitive inform notifications. The role status is used for content updates that are announced automatically and it doesn't need focus. And then the alert is for content that must be dynamically injected or updated to be announced. The best practices for these two roles is to use the status for routine feedback. For example, save successfully or added to your cart, right? And then use alert for critical issues, like, for example, an error. Email, if you are filling a sign-in and you have an invalid password, well, that's a critical error. So you can use an alert for that. And something that I like to say is avoid overusing alert to prevent excessive interruptions. Because as I said before, the status role is polite, so it's going to wait until the screen reader is going to wait until the announcement that is in progress finishes, and then it's going to announce the alert, the status, sorry. And then the alert is going to interrupt the whatever the screen reader is announcing. So it can be a little bit annoying. The idea is to use it only if it is necessary. For the rest of the cases, we use the status, okay? Well, let's understand what is area hidden. This is another one that is very used in the sites and that is a little bit tricky. So what it does, it controls visibility to assistive technologies. For example, screen readers. When you have area hidden true, it hides the element from the accessibility tree. And when you have area hidden false, it ensures that the element is exposed to assistive technology. What are the common use cases? Well, to hide decorative or redundant content, for example, icons or duplicate text, it hides. It is used to temporarily hide modal background content when a dialogue is opened, and is used to prevent announcements of visual-only elements that are not meant for screen readers. but please keep in mind the following. Area hidden doesn't affect visual rendering. It is only the accessibility exposure. If you want something to be hidden for sighted users and also screen reader users, use display none in the CSS style. And in that way, you are going to ensure that it's hidden for all users. Then use it with care, because hiding critical information can break accessibility. And please avoid using it on focusable or interactive elements. Because if you use it in something that has a functionality, this is not going to be exposed to the screen reader. Thus, the screen reader is not going to be able to use the element, activate it, or even find it. We have now a basic idea of the most common roles and attributes. Now let's talk about the must-have area for custom components. I have said before that Aria was created to bridge that gap that is existed between the browsers and the web content. When something doesn't exist in HTML as a native element, we have to build it from scratch. That is what is called custom components. So we use Aria for that. And I compile a few components that I think are the most common. And I'm going to tell you what are the required Aria rules or attributes for each one. The first component is the accordion. The roles and attributes that this component must have is the role button on the accordion header. If not using the button, you're going to see that I'm going to repeat a lot this. If you're not using the native, use the Aria. But in this case, as we have an equivalent, use the button tag. Why? Because native element are accessible by default. So a button tag is going to have is the role, the name, and the functionality that is expected. But an element that has the role of button, you need JavaScript to make it functional, and you need more. Well, you need to work more. So again, the first is the role of button. Then this is very important. Aria expanded either true or false. This indicates whether the panel is open or collapsed. Then we have Aria controls referencing the panel ID. This links the header to the corresponding content panel. Well, they have the ID. In this case, the panel should have a unique ID that is referenced by the Aria controls. Optional, we can have the role region on the panel because it enhances the semantics and allows the screen reader navigation. But this is not something that I have seen a lot. I would say that most people don't use it. Then we have the Aria label by referencing the header ID on the panel. It associates the panel with the header. The best practices for an accordion are, again, I'm sorry if I repeated this too much, but use native button where possible for better accessibility. Keep headers keyboard focusable and allow enter or space to toggle. Manage tab bindings for focus and keyboard navigation as needed, and announce dynamic state changes clearly with Aria expanded. The next component that I have is the dialogue. The required roles and attributes for a dialogue are the role of dialogue or role alert dialogue. Dialogue is for general use and alert dialogue for urgent prompts. Another attribute that we need is the Aria model equals true. This is going to indicate the dialogue is a model and is going to disable interaction with the background content. What does it mean is that when you have a model or a dialogue, the visually you have that in front, right? And the rest is like gray or disabled. For screen reader users, that distinction doesn't exist. So if you don't apply the RM model tool and the proper focus management, the screen reader is going to be able to get out of the model, which is incorrect and is confusing. So the focus should be trapped within the model while it is opened, okay? And then you have to add an area label by referencing the title ID. This is the dialogue's heading or title for a screen reader. The best practices for a dialogue are focus should move to the dialogue when it opens and should return to the triggering element when it closes. Use a visible heading with an ID for area label by and hide the background content from screen readers with area hidden true or remove it from the accessibility tree. Now, menu components. Well, this is also very, very common. The key roles and attributes for the menus are the role of menu. This is applied to the container element of the menu. Then we have the role menu item, which is used on each interactive item inside the menu. We have area has pop-up true. This indicates that the element, for example, a button, opens a menu or a submenu. I want to pause here for a moment. I know that we all have experience or maybe know how a menu or a navigation menu is. It's basically, sometimes it has links, sometimes it just this toggle more information. But something that I have noticed that happened is that most of the times is the same element that opens a link and also displays or toggle the submenu or the options. That's good for mouse users because they can click the element and go to the or be directed to the site where the link directs. And then when they hover, they can have all the options in there. But for a screen reader user or a keyboard user, that doesn't work the same way because if the screen reader or the keyboard user reaches that element and press enter instead of toggle the information or expand the menu, is going to direct them to the link. So what we usually recommend or suggest to co-developers is to use a separate button. So you have most of the times a down arrow button that opens the menu. So it receives focus separately. And this is the one that is going to have the area hash pop-up true assigned. And also area expanded true or false, that is going to reflect the menu's visibility state, even if it is expanded or if it is collapsed. We can optionally use area controls with the menu ID. It's going to reference the ID of the associated menu element. We also can use the role menu item checkbox or menu item radio for checkable or selectable menu items. The best practices for a menu are trigger, like a button, should be keyword focusable and toggle the menu. Use arrow keys for navigating between the menu items. Keep the menu in the DOM while hidden to maintain screen reader access. And set appropriate focus management and ensure that the escape key closes the menu. Or that when I go to the next one or the focus lifts the element, it closes automatically. So it's not confusing and it's not covering other information, right? Now we have the slider component. The essential roles and attributes for our slider are obviously the role slider that is going to identify the element as a slider to assistive technologies. The area value min, max, and now. This defines the slider's numeric range and current value. The Area of Value test. This is optional and it provides a human readable version of the current value. For example, low, high. Also the area orientation, horizontal or vertical. That is optional and honestly is barely used, but this indicates the direction of the slider. But keep in mind the default orientation of a slider is horizontal. Unless the area label by that references the label ID, it associates the slider with a visible label. The best practices for a slider are ensure the slider is keyboard accessible with our keys, home, and update area value now dynamically as the value changes. Include visible labels or instructions for context, and provide visible focus indicators and clear interaction feedback. And the last one is tabs components. So the required roles and attributes for tabs is the role of tab list that is applied to the container that holds all the tabs. Then we have the role tab that is assigned to each individual tab element. The role tab panel is assigned to the content container associated with each tab. Area selected true or false. This indicates which tab is currently active. We have area controls panel ID, which references the ID of its associated tab panel. And area label by referencing the tab ID. It means that each tab panel references the ID of its corresponding tab. The best practices for tabs are only one tab and one panel should be active at the time. Tabs should be focusable with arrow key navigation, left, right, or up, down. Active tab panels should be visible and inactive panels should be hidden from both sides and assistive technologies. And we should maintain clear focus management and visual indication of the active tab. Well, now I have a demo with NVDA. I prepared a video for you. This is a demo site that Amber created for a training. And it has some of the components that I just talked about. And now we are going to observe in action those attributes. We are going to try to understand how they are announced and what is the impact for assistive technologies of these attributes and these roles and how they are announced. I think I'm going to first just play the video. It is like 2 minutes. And then maybe we can go over and I can comment on what we are seeing. Because it can be really fast. On the screen, you're going to observe the web page. And depending on the location of the component, you are going to have the speech viewer, which is a small window that has in text everything that is being announced by the screen reader. But you are also going to have the output, the sound of the video. It means the real experience of a screen reader. I have to clarify something because I'm not a native user of a screen reader, so I use it for educational purposes. So a screen reader user is going to use it like faster and it's going to be more, I don't know, like a pro. It's going to have it like very fast. It's going to navigate, skipping things. In this case, I'm just going to navigate very slowly for the components and try to show you the states and how they are announced, the roles, the names, etc. Well, let's go to the video. And please confirm that you can listen to the audio. Right.
Over desktop grabation dinner log.
It's okay. Okay, I see the hands up. Well, I'll start over. Well, you have there the NVDA speech viewer is just in the middle, right now. I'm going to play it.
Over desktop, gravation, dinner log, primary navigation landmark, good page link current, bad page, equalize digital link, equalize digital submenu button collapsed.
Okay. In this case, we have a menu, right? And it has been read as equalize digital submenu button collapsed. That's because it has the area expanded assigned, right? So it's announcing the state of that submenu. And before it says good page link, current page. That's also something that ARIA is used for, to indicate what is the current page. This is basically ARIA current applied to that link to indicate the user that they are located in this page, or that's the page that is selected. Let's continue.
Expanded.
Okay. Now it says collapse, expanded, and it's going to name the list, right?
List with four items about us link. Accessibility checker link. Link courses. Meetup link. Desk.
Okay. Hannah, do you have a question about the video? I see a raised hand and I'm wondering if there is something wrong with the video. Or not. Well, I continue. Okay, now we are going to
main landmark example components, navigation, accordion visited link. Out of list heading level 2.
Okay, now the accordion. I talked to you about it, right? So
accessible web page demo document. Heading level 3 button collapsed. Why should accordions be accessible? Why should accordions be accessible? Expanded. Collapsed. Do accordions need expanded? Collapsed. Do accordions need headings? Expanded. Collapsed.
Okay. So for the accordion, as you can observe and also listen, it's announcing the title, which is the heading level 3. Why should, for example, the first one, why should accordions be accessible? Then the button, which is the role, and it tells you the state. In this case, collapse or expanding, depending on if it is in fact toggle or not.
Desk.
Now we have tabs. This is a tabs example.
Tabs example tab control. WCAG tab selected 1 of 3. ATAG tab 2 of 3. UAAG tab 3 of 3.
Here I'm navigating with keys, with arrow keys. So as you can see, the WCAG tab, which is the current one, is the only one that is expanded, the tab panel. And then the other ones are just hidden from view, but you can navigate those. And the screen reader is announced which one is selected, because it says WCAG tab, WCAG is the name, tab is the role, selected is the status, and it tells you that is 1 of 3, because you have 3 tabs. Then it goes to ATAG tab, 2 of 3, and UAAG tab, 3 of 3. And you have a focus indicator in there for the arrow keys. So you have this yellow and black focus indicator around the one that has the keyboard focus on it. Let's see again.
ATAG tab 2 of WCAG tabs, ATAG tab 2 of 3.
Well, in this case, I just chose another one. I chose ATAG tab. And now this is the one that is visually presented and is announced as selected, because it has the area, that area attribute implemented.
ATAG tab selected 2 of 3. ATAG property page list with 3 items. ATAG over ATAG 2.0 standard link.
Well, there I was just playing around with the items that were inside the top panel, and now I'm going to I'm back to the top panels, right? Just to show you that it lets you know again which tab is selected and the other tabs are hidden.
Tabs example tab control. ATAG tab selected 2 of 3. UAAG tab 3 of 3. Desk group.
Okay, and now we have this. I think this is the last example, the model. Remember that I told you that a model should has certain area roles, like area has pop up, the role, and then when the dialog or the model opens, it has to announce the title, which is referenced using area label by, and then area dialog, so the screen reader is maintained, the screen reader and also the keyboard focus is maintained within the model and doesn't go to the content behind. And then when it's closed, it should go to the open model button, which is the one that triggers the model. So let's go.
Example modal, open mode.
Okay, so first, this button is announced correctly because it says open model, which is the name, button, which is the role, and then opens dialog. It's telling you that it has Aria Hash pop up implemented in there, and it's going to open a component, in this case, a dialog.
Modal button opens dialog, accessible modal title dialog. This.
Okay. And then we have the dialog open, right? It says accessible modal title. That's the title that is visible there, but it's also the title that is referenced by using Aria Label By. And it's announced accessible modal title heading level 2. Then I'm going to navigate a little bit using the keyboard. So you are going to observe that the focus moves through the elements and doesn't leave the model.
This is the NVDA accessible modal title dialog. This is an accessible modal dialog. It follows WCAG 2.2 guidelines. The form close modal button. Your name edit blank, your email edit blank, submit button, cancel button, close modal button, your name edit blank, your email edit, submit button, your name edit blank.
Well, as you can observe, the focus is trapped and it's cyclic. It goes from the close button to the inputs and then to submit and cancel. It follows a rigid structure, top to bottom, left to right. And is announcing the names and the roles of each element.
Close cancel button. Desktop Windows ML. Desktop Windows ML source.
Wow, that's all. okay, I think that's all that I have.
Over desktop gravation dinner log.
It started over. So let's move to the questions and comments then. I'm going to stop sharing, I think.
Yeah, you can stop sharing. That was a great presentation, Maria. That was very thorough, and we learned a lot about areas. I do see a couple of questions in the Q&A box. And if any other questions came in the chat, please make sure to put them in the Q&A so that we can get through them. So Yana asks, when using a builder like Elementor, do the elements need Aria added or is it built into the widget code, such as using accordion widgets or menu widgets?
It depends. it depends on the plugin. I don't really know Elementor so deep. That's a question maybe for Amber. We are going to make sure that answer you with the details that question later, but in general, some plugins are accessible and by default they include the correct area attributes and roles, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you have you have two options. You can even customize it yourself, adjusting the code in the backend, or you can report that to the plugin owner and tell them that there is an accessibility bug that is breaking a success criteria and they should fix it. But this is something that we can go deeper with Amber because she's the expert in WordPress. Next question.
Yes. What is the best resource or course to go from zero to hero regarding ARIA and semantic HTML?
Well, I'm going to talk about my experience. Basically, there are some resources already. There is documentation that is written by the W3C that has all this information in there. Personally, I learned about ARIA when I was preparing to take the WASP. So I took a DQ training about ARIA. But I know that we are preparing some courses, so maybe we as Equalize can also create some content. But I would say go and be patient and read all the documentation and practice a lot, because it is, I know it's a very technical subject. I was afraid that maybe it was going to be too heavy or maybe too difficult to explain, because it definitely is just technical stuff. But once that you understand the basics and the taxonomy, you are going to be able to implement it, because you have to respect the rules that are already there and see how something is compatible or not, what are the child or the children elements that a component needs. That's it. But I would say that is a question of practice as well.
Okay, and similar to that question, do you have a best practice reference?
Yeah, I'm going to try to find the URL, but there is ARIA Patterns website that is written by the W3C, where you can go and you can look for, I'm going to write it, paste it in the chat. So you can go there. Yes, exactly. That one, the one that Rosalinda put there. That is the one that I use for practice. Also, there is another one that we sometimes recommend, that is Design Systems. I'm going to paste the accordion one, Design System by the United States government. We also sometimes use that for examples. There you have another resource where you can see examples of custom components built and how to use not only ARIA, but also all the interactions and the standard for keyboard navigation, focus, etc. What else?
Yeah, thank you. I need to paste that again in the chat because you posted it to host and panelists. Hold on, let me just it's done. So for anyone that's gonna be looking for the recap, this is all the links that we're sharing in the chat today are gonna be in the recap as well. Mm-hmm. So going on to the next question. Is it advisable to use ARIA for image heavy funnel pages, like a shopper page?
Bernard, can you elaborate a little bit more about your question? You can, I think you can unmute yourself.
Oh, no, you can't.
No, you cannot.
No. But Bernard, you can type in the chat and just give us more info.
Yeah, that. I need more context. Yeah, because basically for images, you don't use ARIA. You use alt text, which is an HTML attribute. You are going to use ARIA for interactive components like buttons, links, widgets, but not for images. Unless you are talking about SVG, but give us more context on where to try to answer the question.
And then Paul asks, JAWS has market share, but it's very expensive. Can I use NVDA to learn Aria?
You can use NVDA to test your implementation, but I guess not for learning, because learning is more like documentation. But yeah, NVDA is great. Is one, I think, in the statistic is the most used screen reader, basically because it's free. The interaction between the different screen readers has slight changes, but it's not, it should really not impact the experience for Aria. So yes, I recommend you to use NVDA. Just download that in your computer and use it. If you have if you are a Mac user, use VoiceOver. You have it as well. It's already by default in your computer, or you can download NVDA as well, I think.
And another question. Also, any tips for Aria use for visual images? Complex as well.
What do you mean? Let me see. Also, any tips for Aria use for visual images? Complex images as well. No, again, images are not going to use Aria. They are going to use Altex. If you have a complex image, I would recommend to use a brief description in the alt text, and then use a description in text just below or near the image, even with a drop down or a model that has like a bigger description. I guess you are referring to graphics or charts that really have complex visual representations in there and cannot be described in 100 characters. So my advice is to use that just to briefly reference the visual representation, but then provide even a table or real text, I mean a paragraph, with the description for the users.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Bernard gave us a little bit more context. He said, Bernard says, for a funnel page, we have several options per product, like color, size.
So you are saying, like, you have a lot of components, like checkboxes, radio buttons,
that's
that are
going. Sounds like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for those one, it's useful to use Aria because it's going to give it context to the user. Because most of the times in an e-commerce, for example, to choose a color, it's just a circle with a color. So yeah, you should give it more context. And avoid those kind of names like there are fantasy color names, you know, like Lagoon of, I don't know, or something like that. Just try to be more descriptive, like blue or red. I know that is fancy and it sounds good, but it's not saying anything to the screen reader user. So let's avoid that.
Yeah. There's this one question. Do you have a solution for a menu with links? My problem is that one main menu element is an empty link, but has several submenu items. I think it's an accessibility issue to have an empty link in the menu. Can I solve this problem with Aria elements? The page is created with WordPress.
Yeah, we actually have a video that is Steve, which is our dev, created for navigation menus. You can look up for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can give you that reference. But basically, yes, an empty link is an issue because you shouldn't have empty links. In that case, you should use a button because that's the correct functionality and the correct role. And also, you must use Aria to give the user that context of the state of the element and also give information that is an expandable element and which one is selected. I hope this helps you, but it's a complex implementation. So I recommend you to see Steve's video. And then if you have more questions, you can always contact us or go to our Facebook page, as Paola mentioned at the beginning, and post your question there. We are going to answer you and give you, maybe we can share you can share the code in there or the page or the URL, and we can help you with the analysis and then with the remediation.
Yeah. And there's another question. Do you have tips for a non-programmer who reviews web accessibility reports that include ARIA errors? For example, how to best determine if the errors require action?
What is that question? I want to read it again.
It's in the webinar chat. It was by Jim.
How to best determine if there are requirements? Okay, so if you are not, well, I'm not a programmer or a developer, so I'm in your team, but I guess you learn how to read the code, right? Even when you don't really know how to implement it. What you can do is to use automatic tool like the checker, for example, for WordPress, or maybe other tools like the ones that are free like ads, and those are going to let you know if ARIA is breaking something, because the way that it works is that it's going to locate those ARIA that has, for example, invalid attributes, or that are using attributes that are not allowed. And then the way that I validate if one automatic error is valid or not is testing that with the screen reader. So if it works well with the screen reader and it's announced properly, it means that it's not hidden, it's giving me the name, the role, and the state, I would say that maybe it's a warning. But I always recommend the client or the developer to fix the error, because it is always going to be marked as an automatic error. Even when it's not impacting a screen reader user, it's still an error of taxonomy. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And then in the Q&A, Anne asks, with regards to links, to keep the button text to a minimum for spacing issues, is it okay to expand the text in the ARIA?
Yes. Correctly. That's a good use. Just remember that the ARIA label is going to replace the text in the bottom. So make sure that you include the text in the link or in the bottom in the ARIA label, because it's going to replace all. So for example, if you have a read more, this is very common. This is something that we always do. You have articles in a page and you have read more visually there. But for the screen reader, read more doesn't have a lot of context, because if a screen reader is just navigating with a tab key, navigating through links, it's going to be read more, read more, read more, but doesn't have context. For a visual or a sighted users, they can relate the read more with the title of the article. So what we do is to add an ARIA label that says read more about the title of the article. So in that case, that ARIA label is going to replace the read more that is alone without context, and it's going to give the user the whole information on where this link is redirecting to.
Yeah, and Craig raises a good point. Craig says in the chat, if the link were more descriptive to begin with, ARIA is not necessary.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I know that sometimes for a space, you can, and also for the design, you cannot use a lot of text in a link. For example, the read more, the learn more, those are very common. But I know sometimes you cannot avoid them from a design perspective, because already the visual relationship is there. But you can use the ARIA label to fix that. It's a good practice.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ahmed asks, is there any browser extensions for the screen reader? Any recommendations?
I would say use the screen reader software instead of a browser extension because it's going to give you a better experience. So I don't really recommend a browser extension. Just use the screen reader that is more compatible with your system. For example, NVDA for Windows, VoiceOver for Safari, you know.
Yes, and using a screen reader at the beginning can be a little bit intimidating, but if you have like a course or something that accompanies you along the way, it starts to become second nature and becomes easier. And I'm saying that as a non-developer, by the way.
Yeah, and we also can say that Amber just created a course for VoiceOver, so we have that training for you. For the moment, it's only for VoiceOver, where we're planning to create the one for NVDA as well for Windows users. I would recommend you, if you're starting using a screen reader, make sure that you know how to turn it off. Because once you turn it in, it's going to read all that you have in on the screen. So it may be challenging. So that's my advice. Know how to turn it off. What is the shortcut to turn it off? So it's going to be interesting.
Going to the next question. If I'm using semantic HTML, do I still need to use the document structure rules?
You mean if you need to use ARIA? Well, even if you are using semantic HTML, if it's that, no, because HTML has implicit at ha, yeah has all the rules and standard navigation and the announcements like by default. So you don't need to use ARIA. You are going to use ARIA when there is not a native equivalent in HTML, or when there is extra information that you need to give and there is not an alternative using native HTML. That's why I said the first rule about ARIA is do not use ARIA. Always try to use native because HTML is accessible by default.
Yes, the next question. People say to use semantic HTML, but it seems that track status and things like that, ARIA is needed. For example, ARIA expanded. Is there a way to do this just with HTML and no ARIA?
No. The short answer is no. It doesn't exist. It doesn't have an equivalent in HTML for the states. So you have to use our expanded.
Okay. The next question. I have seen numerous nav menus that work with tab, but not with arrow keys. Ideally, should this work with arrow keys as well, or are tabs sufficient?
I think that it depends. Depends, but I would say because the standard navigation for the options is the arrow keys. But if you provide an alternative, that's not a big issue because you still can access those. But I will always recommend trying to use a standard keyboard interaction in your widgets or your custom components. Otherwise, you need to let the user know with instructions on how your component works. But in terms of success criteria, it's still keyboard operable, so it's compliant. But the best practice is to use the standard.
Okay. And Martin asks, do ARIA labels have any impact on SEO?
I'm not really sure about that, but I would suppose that they do because the browser engine, the search engines look for the accessible names as keywords. So if you have good linked ads or good area labels, good alt ads, that's going to impact the SEO and your positioning in the search engines as well. That's my answer.
Another question is, we have a back button that takes the use to the previous page. We notify the AT user about where this back button takes them. But visually, from design perspective, we are not able to add lengthy text to that button. Do you think it is an accessibility issue?
No, I think it's clear. As long as you are managing the focus properly and the back button leads to the section that and the screen reader has that information, I think it's not an accessibility issue. If you want me to give you a more detailed assessment, you can send me the URL and I can, or post it on the Facebook chat and we can just review it in detail. But for what you are saying, I think it has context and it's clear that what's the functionality of the button and if the focus is there programmatically and visually aligned in the same place, it's okay.
Okay. And we do have a question about if someone has Linux, what could be one screen reader that they could use?
I think Linux have his own screen reader built in. It's called Orca. So you have a screen reader. Windows also have one. It's Narrator. But we don't use it. I don't know if people use Orca, but you can use Orca because that's built in your system, in your OS. Yeah.
Okay. And I think with that, we have answered all the questions. Maria, do you want to let anyone know where they can find you?
Yes, you can search me in LinkedIn. Maria Jose Maldonado. also, I'm in that Facebook group that Paola mentioned at the beginning. So you can contact me through Facebook because I'm one of the, how do you say it? The people monitoring the group.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well.
Yes, you're one of the monitors there. So thank you so much, Maria. This was a great presentation, very thoughtful, very insightful. And yeah, we'll see everyone on our next meetup on the third Monday of the month. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.